You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Just ahead, we get tips on frugal living at a time when prices are rising all around us. The creator of the personal finance blog, Frugal Wood, stops by. Where do you feel inflation the most? What have you just flat out stopped buying? 800-642-1234. But first, WPR is marking 2 years of the pandemic this week with stories about how COVID changed us in lasting ways. Betsy Block got COVID in late 2020 on the tail end of Wisconsin's first big wave of infections. Like thousands of others, she fought through the disease in the hospital, giving birth to a daughter while she was in a medical coma. Rob Menser reports on how the experience changed Block's life.
Betsy Block doesn't remember the end of 2020 or the beginning of 2021. She remembers getting in the ambulance on Christmas night. She would spend weeks in a medically induced coma with COVID-19.
I only remember the beginning of February. I don't remember anything in January.
When she was admitted to the hospital, Betsy was 7 months pregnant. Just days later, as she was being medically sedated, the baby's vital signs began to crash. Doctors performed an emergency cesarean section. Without even knowing it, Betsy had her third daughter, Jennifer.
I was told in February, I had the baby. They didn't tell me what day or anything.
Jennifer's birthday was December 29th. While the baby went into the intensive care unit, doctors rushed Betsy to a different hospital. Her mom, Kim Engel, says Betsy needed access to an ECMO machine, essentially a life support system that could breathe for her.
They said, we can't wait till the last minute. She has to be there if she's going to be put on it.
Later in January, baby Jennifer would be released to Betsy's husband, Justin, and their family in rural central Wisconsin. But Betsy would spend weeks in the hospital hooked up to the ECMO machine, and it would be months before she could come home. Betsy's case was complex. In addition to COVID, she was diagnosed with blastomycosis, a rare fungal disease that also attacks the lungs. Even after she was out of the coma, she faced an agonizing period in the hospital, struggling for air.
I had looked it up on my phone too, and the survival rate's not high. So I was like, okay, I'm not going to leave this hospital. At least not alive. That's what my thought was, you know.
But slowly, she got better. Her lungs still aren't normal, but she can breathe and get around. Betsy came home from the hospital last March. That's when she held Jennifer for the first time. Bonding with Jennifer was hard. Just readjusting to being at home was hard.
I would have panic attacks if the kids would get too loud. It sounds horrible, but when you're in a hospital room with beeps and boops and stuff like that, you get used to that.
In October, Engel organized a community fundraiser for Betsy and her family. Church members, family friends, and supporters gathered in the town of Merrill. Betsy's daughters drew with chalk in the parking lot. 5-year-old Amelia showed off her drawing of her family.
This is my dad, that's my mom, and this is grass.
Donations from the event and raffle tickets they sold helped Betsy's family recover income they lost while Betsy was hospitalized. For a lot of that time, her husband Justin couldn't work either. And in October, they were also worried about hospital bills that they had yet to see. They found out in December that the state attributed her hospital stay to COVID, not blastomycosis, and the costs were covered. Betsy says her sickness changed her. It's not just the tracheotomy scar or the fact that she needs an inhaler now due to permanent lung damage. She's quieter, more inwardly directed. Justin says that's to be expected.
After that kind of a time period away, and you come home, and, you know, she doesn't come home the same person she was when she left. You know, you go through a life issue like that, and you're not the same person anymore.
Wisconsin has confirmed some 1.4 million cases of COVID-19 in the 2 years since the pandemic began. More than 12,000 people have died. Even among those who've recovered, like Betsy, the disease has left lasting scars.
I do have a long way to go, but I'm here.
Today, she says she's working on moving forward and creating a new life. Rob Menser, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Now to inflation. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen was on CNBC Thursday saying Americans will likely see another year of very uncomfortably high inflation. Where have you felt the higher prices most acutely? What is your strategy for staying on budget when the cost of things are going up all around. Share your tips and observations, 800-642-1234. Elizabeth Thames is creator of the personal finance blog frugalwoods.com. Liz, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we're preparing to soak in all your money savvy, but start with some opening insights on inflation, because it can feel very alarming to see prices on some items really out of reach, out of your control. What are your initial thoughts for us about staying in control?
So, two thoughts. Yes, inflation is up 7.9%, which, you know, is the highest it's been since 1982, but don't panic. I think the silver lining here is that inflation is not affecting goods across the board. So we're seeing some things increase at a really dramatic rate, while others are increasing a lot more incrementally. So one of the best stats that I've read lately is that fruits and vegetables are only rising 2.3%. So that might sound like a lot, but then compare it to beef, which has gone up over 16%. So we can exert some control at the grocery store. So I think this period of inflation is very much a time to control the things that we can control and recognize that a lot of things are out of our control, but we can make some choices to bring down our budget.
That's interesting, because food makes up about 13% of what a typical household buys. That's federal data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. But I think we feel the pinch on it because we eat every day, and to eat that money has to come from somewhere. So how do you think food prices shape our view of inflation?
I think it's important to remember that we might need to make some changes right now, but they might be able to be temporary changes. So perhaps, you know, you don't have to give up beef, say, forever, but this might be a time where you hold off on buying beef. Meat, poultry, fish, and eggs, you know, those prices are also increasing quite a bit, but what's increasing much less are grains, beans, fruits, vegetables. Anything that you can cook from scratch is going to be less expensive. So in some ways, this is kind of the back to basics. You know, what we already all know about being able to save money at the grocery store is going to help us right now. So I just bought a 50-pound bag of raw organic oats to make oatmeals, and that the cost of that 50-pound bag has not increased in 2 years. So I think we are able to find these items that aren't increasing or that aren't as impacted. So again, being really mindful about what we buy, which might involve changing the habits that we've kind of fallen into or the things that we always eat, bring a new perspective to your grocery list. Look at the things that aren't increasing as much in price.
Wow, you are buying in bulk there. I'm just thinking 50 pounds, that oatmeal is going to last your family quite some time.
Well, my kids eat a lot, so actually, it's kind of shocking it lasts for some amount of time. But, you know, I also buy whole wheat flour in bulk, and then I make bread from scratch with a bread machine, which is like the easiest, cheating-ist way to make bread. But again, looking at how you can sort of simplify your meal. So if you are buying things that are highly packaged, highly processed, that have a lot of meat in them, that's going to be very expensive right now. So if you are interested in saving money, you know, on your food, think about how you can really sort of scale back the processing and the packaging right all the way back down to, you know, the raw ingredients.
Another issue is that it feels like your paycheck is shrinking. It's not going as far because your employer probably isn't tying your wages to inflation, like putting more in your paycheck to offset inflation. How does this time feel like a pay cut?
I think in some ways we can try and make this economic environment work for us. you know, we are still seeing that employment is at an incredible record low. You know, employers are hiring, almost everywhere has a hiring sign out. So I actually think this is the time to ask for a raise, because I think you as an employee are bringing a lot of value to your employer in a lot of ways just by being there. And so asking for a raise now, I think, is a great idea. I think that if you are not able to come to terms on a raise, maybe it's time to find another job. If you want to stay at that job, you know, other things to think about are the outer effects of inflation, right? So gas prices. Are you driving to work every day? Do you have a long commute? Is there any way that you could negotiate working from home more often if you're not already, so that you could reduce the expenditure that you're paying, you know, to get to work, what you're paying to work? So I think that's one way that we can think about making this environment work for us.
Another issue for retirees and people living on a fixed income, there is a very difficult time here. What can someone do if they can't bring in extra money to offset the cost of everything around them, or doesn't have a cushion saved up to draw from in this situation?
I think in that case, what you're going to be able to impact are your expenses, right? So this is a two-part equation. We've got income, we've got expenses. So if your income is fixed and you don't have an opportunity to bring in anything supplemental, it's time to really dig into those expenses. So going through, and what I mean by digging in, I really mean digging in. So,
I know.
This is a serious digging, you know, item by item. So it's not just, oh, groceries. It's no. Every single thing you bought at the grocery store, right? And so it's not just gas. It's okay, how many miles did we drive? Do we need to drive that many miles? Is there an alternative? So once you have that list of truly, really and truly all your expenses, and the easiest way to do this is to track your spending as you're spending it. Because if you're like me, I get to the end of the month, I have no idea what I did, but I'm tracking it for each purchase I make. So I can look back and very easily have those totals. So you've got your expenses, and then you're going to make two columns. You've got things that are fixed and things that are discretionary. Very few things are fixed. So your mortgage or your rent, if you have debt or a car payment that you have to pay every month, those are the things that are fixed.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much everything else is discretionary. And that's where you can start to have an impact. So how can you reduce your spending in all of these other discretionary categories? And one of the ways that I'm encouraging people to look at this right now is to reevaluate the pandemic habits. So we all did quite a few things.
I just want to pause on pandemic habits. As we learn how to live more frugally in these times of higher gas prices and inflation, Liz Thames is here, founder of Frugal Woods. How are you adjusting your family's budget now? Are you closely tracking your spending? What do your purchases reveal? 800-642-1234 to join in. We'll be back in a minute to talk more about how to be thrifty here on the Ideas Network. A key inflation measure jumps to the highest level since 1982. Where do you feel it the most? We're discussing inflationary coping strategies on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The American Psychological Association's annual Stress in America poll came out Thursday. 87% of respondents citing rising costs of everyday items like groceries and gas as a significant source of stress. Is your financial situation keeping you up at night or causing stress in your life? Join in on inflation, how your family is coping, 800-642-1234. Personal finance author and Frugal Woods creator Liz Thames with us for the hour. Liz, you mentioned pandemic habits. What did we pick up in over the last 2 years that we need a correction on?
I think we all did a lot of great things to cope with the pandemic. And now I think is the time to reevaluate some of those habits. So ordering takeout, streaming services, buying stuff for the home. So gym equipment, toys, games, craft supplies. I bought so many craft supplies for my children. Oh my goodness. Subscription services. So, you know, anything that needs to be shipped to you. These are all areas that you might want to think about cutting back. So can you cancel some of the television streaming services? You know, can you cut back on the takeout? And can you find a way to winnow down some of those purchases for the home? You know, as we're sort of coming into a new era of the pandemic, looking back at some of those sort of early quarantine purchases that made a lot of sense then, but may not need to continue.
So as you look back at these different receipts and these different items we bought, perhaps subscription boxes, I know that was kind of big for my kids at one point. Going line by line in your purchases, one thing that you like is the personal capital to track spending, this free online service. What do you see out of that?
Sure. That is free online software, like you mentioned, that will track your spending for you, which I find very convenient because, again, I really cannot remember what I bought. And so this gives me an export every month of what I spent. But there's a lot of other ways to do this. You know, some people like to write it down pen and paper. Other people have their own spreadsheet system. Some people really like mint.com. It's another tracking software. There are plenty of things that you can pay for as well to do this for you, but there's so much that you can do for free that I really kind of prefer the free version, if you hadn't guessed. And another thing that you can do is look at your credit card statement. So if you're buying most things with a credit card, you know, that's going to give you a really great starting point too.
And I noticed too, your credit card breaks out once a year, or at least mine does, breaks out your spending on that card once a year into this neat pie chart where you can really see where the bulk of the spending has been.
Absolutely. I am always a little bit shocked when I see those pie charts because I think we all have a narrative that we tell ourselves about how we spend our money, but the reality is not always quite in alignment. And so actually knowing the numbers is where you're going to really get the greatest confidence and strength because yes, you can impact your income. You know, yes, you can impact some of these broader trends, but the thing that you can really, really control every single day is your own spending.
How do you recommend that people use credit cards in these times?
First of all, you have to be sure that you can use a credit card responsibly. And that entails paying it off in full every month. So I often on Frugalwoods have folks come to me saying, oh, shouldn't I keep a balance in order to build my credit score? No, that is false. That is a myth. What you want to do is pay it off every single month. So you're using the credit card, but you're only using it to buy things that you can afford. So you need to be absolutely certain that whatever you put on that card, you can pay the full amount, not the minimum due amount, but the full amount every single month so that you're zeroing it out. If you're interested in increasing and improving your credit score, then what you want to do is keep a credit card open for many years and pay it off every month. My favorite kind of credit card are cashback cards because they are so easy. You just spend the money and then you get cash back. Travel rewards, I think, are also fantastic. They're a little bit harder to track and you have to be certain that you're actually getting value for it. Cashback is easy. Everybody is going to use cash. So finding a card that doesn't have an annual fee is a great thing. There's plenty of cards that have no fee. Paying it off in full and doing a cash back card. You know, that's a great way to trim expenses and just get a little bit back for buying the things that you need to buy anyway.
And you can turn that cash back right into paying your credit card bill, which could help as well. Is it worth opening a new card for the extra rewards it promises or, you know, for spending on certain products or services, especially if it's a place you go again and again? And they always ask you, you know, when you check out, are you interested in saving today? And here's the card.
So I am not a fan of snap decisions in any context. I like to research it. So when people ask me at the checkout, I'm like, oh, that does sound like a good deal. But you really want to sit down at home and do your research. So there's a website called cardratings.com that I really like because you can research every type of card. So if you want to look for cashback cards, go to the dropdown, select cashback cards, and then you can look through everything that's available. So I really don't recommend signing up for the card in the store because you don't have a chance to ask about any hidden fees, what, you know, the annual cost might be for the card. It's really a good idea to do that on your own time when you're not at the checkout with both of your kids, like trying to climb on top of the conveyor belt. So do it at home when you have time. And it's perfectly fine, you know, to open a new card as long as that's consistent with your other credit strategies.
Liz Thames with us, creator of the personal finance blog frugalwoods.com, as we learn how to be thrifty and economical at this time of soaring prices. Who taught you how to be frugal? What has careful budgeting taught you after 2 years of the pandemic? Still time to talk about this. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We'll pick this up, maybe hear from you about your money saving tips after a news update on the Ideas Network. We're discussing how rising prices hit home and getting tips on budgeting here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. In polling by Gallup, the economy was the much greater concern of Americans in early February, with 30% mentioning at least one economic problem like inflation. How concerned are you by the prices you see? Do you clip coupons? Are you doing more comparison shopping? Are you doing without certain things like beef? Join in, 800-642-1234. Frugal living expert, creator of Frugal Woods, Liz Thames is with us for the hour. Liz, in our household, we clip coupons, and especially the ones that get sent to us from our usual grocery store that come in the mail in a nice little envelope even. But I'm wondering, you know, comparison shopping takes time. Clipping coupons takes time. Do you have any advice to make it more streamlined and efficient?
I think it depends on where you want to put your time and your money, right? So we talked earlier about the two parts of this equation, income and expenses. So if you're able to work longer hours to increase your income, you know, that might be a far better use of your time than clipping coupons, right? Mm-hmm. Conversely, if you're on a fixed income and you don't have the opportunity to work and increase your income, clipping coupons, you can consider that to be your job. And so I think it really does come down to how can you use your time? How do you want to use your time? And what's going to be the greatest value? I think also, as you noted, Kate, if you have a grocery store that you go to every week and you know they send coupons and it's for stuff that you need and that you want, then that is absolutely a great thing to do. I have a membership to a warehouse store and they now have this opportunity where you can add all the coupons to your member card online. So when you go to the store, yes, it is fantastic. So when you go to the store, the coupons are already on your card and you don't have to take the time to clip them. That is kind of a no-brainer, you know, if you have an opportunity to do something like that. The thing that I always caution about with coupons is that a lot of times they are for brand name items and therefore packaged pre-processed items, right? So it's very rare that you're going to get a coupon on the 50-pound bag of bulk oats. You're going to get a coupon on the pre-made tiny little packages of oatmeal, which are going to cost so much more than the bulk option, whether or not you're using a coupon. So be really cognizant of whether or not you're actually saving money or if it's just a little decrease on that brand name packaged item that you can get the generic bulk option for much cheaper.
Okay, so moving from the grocery store to having to make a big purchase when you really don't want to make purchase, and I'm thinking like my clothes dryer that probably just died over the weekend, or a used car or some piece of electronics. How can you time it with an annual sales period, even though, you know, you'd prefer to buy it like right now because you need it right now?
Yes, this hits very close to home for me, Kate. My dryer went on some sort of rampage last winter, and I live in rural Vermont. So, you know, we have a winter up here, and instead of buying a new dryer, because the supply chain issues were making that completely impossible, I hung dry all of our stuff, which is not a whole lot of fun because, wow, you know, I couldn't put it outside. So it's like all over the house. My kids thought it was great. They're like crawling under, you know, the sheets. It's like, get out of the clean, do that with the dirty laundry, not the clean laundry. And then I also tapped into my community. So I have wonderful friends and neighbors. And I said, hey, could I come dry the bed sheets in your dryer once a week? And they said, of course. Oh my goodness, bring them over. So we were able to delay purchasing a new dryer by, you know, some inconvenience and some pain in the short term. And then eventually what actually ended up happening is that my husband and my nephew fixed the dryer. Oh. And then it broke again, and then they fixed it again. And now it seems to be fine. And I don't think it can hear me from where I am. So, you know, be a little bit creative. If you have to replace something right now and there's absolutely no other choice, then, you know, you're just going to have to buy it and pay the money. But if, like me, you can get a little creative with the drying, see if you can do that. You know, can you drop something off at your friend's house to dry? Bake her a pie, bring her some bulk oats, you know, in return. But can you think about some creative options? Because prices on goods are really just pretty painful right now. So I think the name of the game is delay if you can.
Delay if you can. But, you know, if you are relying on your vehicle to get to and from work, and we've seen, you know, the prices at the pump over $4, how do you, and you mentioned, you know, some tips earlier, but what can we do at the gas station and trying to rein in our spending on just gas, getting from A to B?
Right. And this is one of those things where there's a lot that we cannot control. You know, you're not really going to be able to comparison shop for gas. It might be a little bit cheaper at some places, but it goes up pretty much across the board. So can you drive less? You know, can this be a short-term choice to use public transportation if that's available to you, to carpool if that's a possibility, to walk or bike? You know, that may not be possible. I mean, I live rurally. If I walk, I just end up in the woods. But if you are in an area where that might be tenable, think about it as a short-term change. You know, it doesn't have to be an entire lifestyle change, but it can be something you do in the short term, because those prices are, you know, pretty painful. So that also goes back to, can you work from home more? Can you reduce that commute? Can you combine errands and shopping so that you're driving less?
Elizabeth Thames with us, creator of the personal finance blog, frugalwoods.com. You can join in. How have you been approaching your finances and money management in these times? Are you struggling to plan for the future in this time? Are you drawing on your savings to get by as the prices go up around you? 800-642-1234. Email ideas@wpr.org. So Liz, you know, as we saw in the last 2 years of the pandemic, the federal government really stepping up with stimulus checks and the paused student loan repayments that will be picking up again. There was other direct financial relief to families. What do you think has proved the most helpful to households?
I think the pause on student loan payments is something that's been really transformational for a lot of people. I think we have a real student loan debt crisis in a lot of ways. And so being able to pause those expenses was, I know, extremely helpful for a lot of the people that I work with on Frugalwoods. And when you have, you know, a wonderful boon like that, it's a great idea to be really mindful about what you do with that money. You know, don't turn that into like your takeout and streaming services money. Put that into a savings account. You know, use that opportunity to build up an emergency fund that you can tap into when you need to.
What financial assistance remains available and remains really useful to people? Where should they be looking for help?
I am a big fan of the government's websites. I know they get a bad rap, but I actually think they're extremely helpful. So the IRS website is a really good resource. The U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics is excellent. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. I basically just Google the question I have and look for a .gov source, because that's going to be your most updated information, because a lot of this is kind of a moving target. So if you can go back to that primary source, that is going to give you the best information.
What about that looming debt that doesn't give a person much wiggle room? How do you recommend people address student loans or other forms of large debt?
Sure. So, you know, the standard advice is don't get into debt, but that's not very helpful if you already have debt. The horse has left the barn. So if you have debt that you need to pay every month, make a nice little spreadsheet for yourself or a nice little list of the total amount of the debt and then the interest rate and then the required minimum payment. The worst thing about debt is the interest rate. It's not actually the total dollar amount. So you could have a debt for $200,000. Let's say that's a mortgage, but the interest rate might be 3%. Mm-hmm. Then you could have credit card debt of $5,000 with a 17% interest rate. You want to be a lot more concerned about that 17% interest rate, even though the total dollar amount of the debt is a lot less. So make sure that you're not sort of blinded by the dollar amount, but you're looking at the interest rate. And what you really want to do, if at all possible, is wipe out that high interest rate debt.
So really focusing on the debts that have that higher interest rate first and being less of a concern of the ones that have a very low interest rate.
Absolutely. And another thing on mortgages, if you have a mortgage and you haven't refinanced in the last 5 years or so, now could be a really good time to do that. You know, we are seeing that the feds are likely to increase interest rates very soon. And so if you can lock in a low fixed rate on your mortgage, that is a fantastic way to reduce your monthly payments. So it's really worth looking into that right now.
We have personal finance and frugal living expert Liz Thames, our guide to saving in these times of rising inflation. Have you seen financial setbacks due to rising gas or grocery prices or elsewhere? What type of support or guidance are you searching for? What frugal tips and, you know, tenets do you live by that really work into your advantage in these times? Share your tips, your observations, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Liz Thames here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The New York Times asked 2,200 people where they feel inflation the most, finding food and gas dominate the price increases Americans have noticed, as we've been talking about. What price increases have taken you by surprise? Are you changing your buying habits? Are your wages rising with inflation? Or do you feel like you're losing ground with cost of living? 800-642-1234. Still time to talk. Frugal Woods creator Liz Thames with us for about 10 more minutes on budget saving strategies. Let's bring in Alex now in Rice Lake. Hi, Alex. What's your situation?
Hey, Kate. How's it going? So I just wanted to bring up one quick point about paying off debt. So I'm kind of just a small-time fan of Dave Ramsey, really like the snowball method of paying down debt. I was actually able to pay off all my school debt last year with it. So taking off those small debts first, as opposed to the higher interest debt, actually really worked for me. And maybe something that could work for other callers. And it just gives you those kind of moments of, yes, you know, I paid down, you know, this debt, then you go on to the next one. And it gives you a little bit, you know, a sense of security and power, I guess. And hopefully maybe it works for somebody else too. Thank you guys.
Well, Alex, how has that worked in terms of what your debt situation is like now as you work on, you did the snowball thing where you started with the smaller ones and then worked your way up?
Yeah, so this was actually post-COVID, mm-hmm. but actually during 2020. So when the debt payments were paused. And so with those lower interest, with no interest payments, it just kind of gave me an opportunity to, I guess, feel a little bit more secure. But I was also able to kind of have better issues with, like, grocery shopping, like, locally through Aldi. Mm-hmm. That's a big one for me. Just saving money I guess that way. So I don't have too much time here, but
Alex,
I just kind of call it.
Yes, thank you so much. Liz, I bet you're just saying yes, yes, yes.
Absolutely. Alex, congratulations. That's fantastic. And I think Alex brought up a really great point that there is sort of the quote unquote mathematically correct way to approach your money. And then there's what works for you. So I think it's really important to remember that, you know, technically, mathematically, the best thing to do is to pay off the highest interest debt first. However, if that is not tenable for you and you want to start with the smallest dollar amount debt, that is also great. You know, you're getting to the same place in the end. You want to be cognizant of the trade-offs that you might be making in terms of sunk costs and lost opportunity cost. However, you know, the best way to manage your money is the way that you can be consistent with, that you feel confident about, and that puts you in control.
It was interesting too, Alex, paying down student loans at a time when they were paused and when they weren't accruing interest. That is a wonderful strategy if you can do it.
That is absolutely an approach. You know, it's the other approach is to save that money, like I mentioned, and put it towards potentially something like credit card debt that is never going to be forgiven.
Hmm.
So you do want to remember that with something like federal student loan debt, there is a possibility that that could be forgiven. American Express is like absolutely never going to forgive your credit card debt, right? So you do want to remember kind of the hierarchy of who you owe money to and where you're likely to receive subsidies versus not.
Another thing to think about is insurance costs and health insurance premiums. You know, you recommend people use an insurance calculator to find the plan that is right. Can you kind of explain how we can save money on health insurance and yet don't opt for a skimpy plan and not get the coverage we need?
So if you don't have employer-sponsored healthcare and you're looking for healthcare through the Affordable Care Act, that is going to be governed by the state. So it's different state to state. So if you're in Wisconsin, you need to find the Wisconsin Affordable Care Act website. You can create a login, figure out, you know, how you can be part of that website, and then you can start researching plans. So you want to get pretty granular if you want to figure out the best plan for you, because sort of broadly researching this at a nationwide level is not going to give you the information that you need. So the number that you are going to need to plug into the website is called your MAGI. It is a modified adjusted gross income. So you need to figure out what that number is. And from there, you're going to be able to read through all of the plans that are available to you.
So really put in that detailed information, because what you're going to get out of that is information you can really use to try to craft what is right for you with health insurance if you're on the marketplace.
Absolutely.
So I'm thinking about the 50-30-20 rule these days and how it's really been turned on its head. 50% on needs, 30% on wants, and socking away 20% to savings. How do you feel about this type of division when we are in such really untenable times with inflation?
I am not a fan. I do not like rules like this because I think it hems us in, and I actually think it can cause us to spend more.
Wow.
Because if we say, okay, I'm going to spend $2,000 every month, right? Well, what if you actually only need to spend $1,500? I've worked with folks on Frugal Woods who say, well, I got to the 25th of the month and then I had $500 left over. And I'm like, great, I hope you put it into savings. And they're like, no, I bought a trampoline. And so I think, you know, which I love trampolines, you know, don't get me wrong. Trampoline haters do not come for me. But if we set ourselves up for sort of needing or expecting to spend a certain amount, we can really, really shoot ourselves in the foot, because that could be an opportunity to save that $500. When we are in uncertain times, which I feel like we have been in for a good number of years right now, you know, we have the pandemic, we have now inflation. This is a great time, honestly, to just save everything you can.
Hmm.
You know, for myself, I looked back, my February expenses were extremely low because I was really thinking about all of this uncertainty. So I made a lot of conscious choices not to go out to restaurants, not to buy stuff for my kids, not to buy a new dress for myself, you know, really being cognizant of those wants and of those luxuries and saying, you know, this just does not feel like the month for it. Let's just kind of save as much as we possibly can right now.
So in terms of saving as much as we can right now, you really like these high interest savings accounts. What do you see there?
I do like these. They're not great right now. You know, interest rates have been low. That could be changing, so keep an eye out. In general, you really want your money to work for you to the best of your ability. So if your savings or your checking account is not earning any interest, do some searching. You know, look around. There's a number of different online banks that offer pretty nice interest rates on a savings account. Also, if you have an account with a brokerage, they might have a money market account or something along those lines that you can tap into. So you want to kind of create this full list. Can you tell I love lists of all the accounts you have? Because when I did this, I thought, I was like, oh, I have like a random $500 sitting over in this account that gets no interest. Make sure that you are not paying fees on a checking account or a savings account. There's no reason to be doing that. There are so many options on the marketplace right now. So if you are with a small town bank or a small credit union and they are charging you for the privilege of having a checking or savings account, I really encourage that you get away from that. Find someone who's going to offer you money for putting your savings with them.
Well, I want to leave it here with, if you could spend 1 hour every week taking action on one of these, you know, things on your long list of ideas on how to save money, where should we put that attention? Where should we spend that hour?
I would spend it on reviewing expenses and priorities. And if you have a partner, if you live with another person, if you have a family, bring them into the conversation. What are the priorities for the family right now? Can we see that this is a rough time in terms of inflation and decide together that we're going to focus on doing things a little bit more frugally? You know, we're not going to go out to eat. We're not going to rent movies. We're not going to go to see shows in person. We're going to find a way to create an enjoyable life, but to spend a lot less because we feel a little bit uncertain. Things are uncertain right now. And I think in a time like this, no one regrets having more money saved up.
And so really, don't go it alone. Make sure that your whole household is in on this thinking and on a plan, and you're really working together. It sounds like communication is key.
Absolutely.
And so as we wrap up, Elizabeth, you know, do you foresee having to be in this pattern for quite some time of these high prices? I mean, you can't go like every month like February where you just really hold back.
If I knew that, Kate, I think I would be a very famous person. I do not know. And, you know, and the thing is that no one knows, right? Mm-hmm. So this is, you get people who tell you what the stock market is going to do. No one knows, mm-hmm. right? And so all we can control is our own behavior in the economy. And I think it is possible to sort of hold back and have frugal months for a period of time. I actually have a free course on frugalwoods.com called the Uber Frugal Month. And it's a month-long course that you can take at any point during the year, and it will guide you through a lot of these steps I've talked about today and help you to figure out how much you can save every month if you really work at it.
Liz, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Liz Thames, creator of the personal finance blog frugalwoods.com. We have a link at wpr.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.